CliffCentral.com.
Yaku's always a good time, man. He's the vibe. He's the host of Unbundled. And when I started listening to Unbundled, I was just getting all these nuggets where I'm like, oh, actually, yeah, actually, yeah. Like, things just start to make sense and you start putting two and two together and you're like, this is how things actually go. Yaku, good morning. How you doing? Welcome to the show. As you can see, it's me and the boys today.
Good morning, everybody. Sorry, I was maybe 1 or 2 minutes late. I passed out when I heard you going, Marcus, you're so nice.
Whoa, too soon, Yaku, too soon. Let's get straight into it. So cybersecurity, a lot is happening right now in South Africa. It seems like data is being stolen. The Everest gang is demanding $200,000 for data stolen from South African state-owned electricity company Eskom. Whoa. What is happening, Yaku? Give us the 411.
Just explain quickly what I was saying earlier is, you know, when you spoke about the burner phone and you're not trusting iPhone anymore.
Yeah.
It's actually related to the same topic. So that's why I was saying apparently Marcus Yester, he just operated with a burner phone, like a Nokia 3310 or something like that. You know, so like if you go to Waterfall Corner and you see a guy with two cell phones, then you know it's a serious dude. If you see a guy walking around with three cell phones, then you know he's making deals. If he's walking around with a burner, you turn around and you walk away because you know you're not in good company. So, but yeah, look, it's actually interesting. So, in my podcast today, we're talking about this, and I was giving it quite a bit of thought. You know, for many years, there's been this saying that data is the new gold and information is where all the money is. And actually, you know, even if we take it back to your iPhone comment where you go, my whole life, all of my data is on this device, and if I lose it, what is the risk to me?
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm happy that that's happened to you, but I'm happy that people are starting to realize that you know, your data is so important. It's as important as that, metal door that you have at the front of your house or the alarm that you put on in the evening. You know, you've got to look after your data and respect it, because even little Yaku in Midrand or whatever, you know, I might say, you know, in the bigger scheme of things in the world, what's my data worth? But you know, there's money to be made, and money is a big thing. So the interesting term that we're discussing today is data extortion. So if you're a business, like what you were talking about now, you have data. Obviously, the bigger the business, the bigger the target you will be. And there's different means and ways of extracting money out of said organization.
Yeah.
So I can say to them, listen, I have a copy of your data, and if you don't pay me, I'm going to release it. And there's obviously reputational damage. In this case that you're talking about, if you read the article, you'll see Eskom went back to them and said, well, we don't believe that we had a data breach, so have at it. You know, so you can call their bluff. There's other ways where you have something like ransomware, where those said people can then say, right, I'll call your bluff back and I'm going to lock your data so you can't access it. And that's obviously then got implications on the business. For example, you can't bill at the end of the month. You don't know who your customers are. You can't access the data. And then there's also a term called data exfiltration, where they just slowly on an ongoing basis, they're just taking data out of your organization, and they might be selling it off or anything like that. So data is literally the new gold, you know. If any of us, I don't think any of us do, but if any of us had a Kruger Rand in our house, you're not going to leave it on the kitchen table.
Definitely.
And then Yaku, is data extortion similar to those emails you get where it says, listen, we've been watching you for quite some time. We've been recording you through your webcam. We've seen what you were doing. You've seen what you were doing while watching certain things. And we're going to be leaking this information along with all your other personal information on your computer. And you have to pay us for us not to leak this information. Is that what data extortion is?
That can be, I think at a personal level, it can be that. So I was just thinking also when Lebang was talking about iPhone earlier, one of the concepts I learned early in my life in the IT industry, and we can't say it too loudly because, you know, but there's a problem called a picnic problem. So it says the problem is in chair, not in computer. And the biggest problem that we have is us, you know. So I was actually thinking about it now. How often do you change your passwords? Do you, when you log on to a site, do you save that password to iCloud or you know, the browser, Safari or Firefox or Google Chrome will say, do you want me to save the password? You know, so like, how often do you go and change that? And we're all guilty of it, you know. Like,
sure.
Like if you just think about it, the password that you log on to the bank, which is probably one of the most important passwords that you have, how often do you change it? Because it's inconvenient, you know. But it's a discipline thing, and 100% in the business world, the extortion will be, you know, I've got a copy of your customer list and I'm going to leak it, and you know, it's going to cause reputational damage. At a personal level, Mesh, like you say, now obviously, you know, if they collected some of your personal data. Obviously, you know, as a brand or you know, personal brand or whatever, you might say, I don't want that to happen because there might be reputational damage to me. So, yes. So definitely so. Brian, sure. Why are you laughing?
Sorry, I'm just reading some of the comments here. Congo Chris is commenting on Mash.
What's Congo Chris saying?
He says, Mash posts pictures of his pickle on OnlyFans and I was worried about Pornhub.
Ah, hectic.
I don't know why they're doing you like that, Mash.
Jeez, so Jacob,
but it's copyright, you know. I mean,
I'm selling that. That I'm selling.
Exactly
yes.
That.
Hexic.
You don't want to give it out for free.
Absolutely.
Hexic. So, what's the solution for Eskom? Or is that what we're going to find out in the show today? I mean, this is like, it's scary stuff to know that they are at such high risk of all this information just, you know, being exposed, and ultimately, like, we're not being protected. The data is not protected, it seems. Like, it's just, as we go by, it's just easier and easier for these cyber attacks to occur. So what's going to happen? Like, what's going to be the outcome for Eskom?
I think that Eskom thing that was earlier in the year, it's already I think been dealt with and died down. So I say, you know, sometimes what happens is people will just call your bluff and say, listen, I have your data, you better pay me, you know.
They're holding it ransom.
Sometimes it's just a hoax, you know, and they try, you know, maybe if your monitoring systems aren't good and you don't know if your data was leaked or not, you know, you might fall for it and say, okay, right, let me pay you. And then at the end of the day, they didn't have anything. Yes. So the answer, specifically in the business world, this is exactly what we're talking about today. Is you've got to get in front of it, you know. So and it's a moving target. I don't think, you know, it's the same as the security at your house. You can't put up a security door and say, okay, right, now it's fine, because then tomorrow they find a way to climb through the window or through the roof or whatever. So you know, it's an ever moving target, and the key for me is to have visibility and understand what your data is doing. And then there's also what's interesting, you know, we also always have this concept of, you know, it's outside of people. You know, it might be it's this bad guy that's sitting in, I don't know, China or Russia or whatever. They're just trying to, this scaly looking guy on the dark web that's trying to steal my data. But there's also a concept of insider threats, you know. So you might have aggrieved people inside the organization that's actually you know compromising your data integrity. So there's this concept of zero trust where you basically have to create the environment where you literally just don't trust anybody, regardless if they work inside the organization or outside the organization. But people are 99.99% of the problem. It's people. The system is only as good as the people that
always,
you know, sits within it.
Always. We've got a question from Congo Chris. I think we can take this one quickly. Congo Chris is saying, Jaco, what's your thoughts on VPN security programs?
That's also almost as how long is a piece of string, but let me put it to you like this. So obviously, as a starting point for any organization, I see that he's talking about NordVPN. I'll get to that now. In a business environment, if you're and the last 2 years have exposed that business quite a bit. Mm. If you have workers or employees or team members accessing your data from home or from outside on the internet or whatever, you've got to try and make it as secure as possible and lock it down as hard as possible. So it's definitely not bulletproof, but as a basic, any organization should deploy some form of VPN technology in order to secure the access into their data. That applications like what Chris is talking about, there's various ones of those in a personal capacity. People can use that to hide where they're coming from. So, for example, you might want to watch Netflix with a US-based IP or whatever, and something like NordVPN or one of those will give you that ability to hide where you're coming from.
Okay.
So if you look at the I think to answer Chris's question, best practice advice is if you're using public Wi-Fi like at an airport or anything like that, the more you use VPN technologies like NordVPN or whatever, that's advisable. So the more you can protect where you're coming from and who you are on the internet, the better.
So the public password managers, networks.
Yeah, password managers. I've got a different view on. There are obviously lots of those as well. But me, I'm old school. I write my passwords in a bookie, and then I keep it with me. Yeah. And if I lose that bookie, then I change it. It's just one of those things. So there, I'm a bit more old school. I don't like passwords. You shouldn't save on the internet. Is my personal opinion. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Yaku. That's Yaku Voigt from Catalytic. He's the host of Unbundled. So we'll see you at around 9, or rather we'll hear you, and we'll get more information about all about that. And I think I'm quite looking forward to it, because, the password one, we are all guilty of that one. So that will be Unbundled today at 9 a.m. CliffCentral.com.